was some scripture that Tom read, wasn't it? Were you a little caught off guard? I mean, here it is, after all, just the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Shouldn't our scripture be about Thanksgiving? Shouldn't it be something like Psalm 136? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. His love endures forever. Give thanks. Wouldn't that have been a nice scripture for today? Don't you think it should feel warm and fuzzy? Like this. Some of you might have seen this list for turning our worries and our first world problems into blessings. Here we go. Be grateful for early wake-ups. It means there are children to love. Be grateful for a house to clean. It means a safe place to live. Be grateful for laundry to do. It means you have clothes to wear. Be thankful for dishes to wash. You have plenty of food to eat. Be thankful for grocery shopping to do. It means that you have money to provide for your loved ones. Be thankful for toilets to clean. It means you have indoor plumbing. Be thankful for lots of noise. It means your life is full of people. Be thankful for lots of questions and fighting over homework. It means you have kids who are growing and learning. And be grateful when you are sore and tired, when you crawl into bed at night. It means you are alive. And of course, we should feel grateful for those things and a thousand more. And yet, I want more for you. I want you to be grateful for more. I want you to be more grateful. I want you to feel in a deep, constant, humbling, joyful way gratitude for the things that don't come easily. The things for which you and those before you and those after you will work and pray and sacrifice for. I want you to step off the edge of faith's cliff and believe that one of two things really will happen. You will find something solid to stand on, or you will be taught to fly. And in that moment, when one of those two things happen and you feel that deep sense of gratitude, of being saved, of learning to fly, that is the gratitude that I want you to carry every moment of every day. And so I gave you this scripture this morning. Jacob was left alone, and a man, was it an angel? Was it God? Wrestled with him until daybreak, and when the man saw that he couldn't prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint. And then he said, "Let me go, Jacob, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me." And then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." And then he blessed him. There's a woman named Regina Sarah Ryan. She wrote a poem called Dangerous Prayers, and we've used it several times. It inspired our Daria sermon series and many more of our sermons. And she shares a story of when she was presenting a lesson to a group of people about prayer. And in that group, there was a woman who said, "My constant prayer is gratitude." And Regina Sarah Ryan was very impressed by that. And so she asked the woman to speak further about it. And the woman said, "I am so grateful for the sunshine, for the flowers, for the blessings of health, for my wonderful family." And her list went on and on. And Ryan asked her, "Do you express gratitude for the storms, for the illnesses, for the downtimes?" And the woman said, "No." Ryan says, "Now, I realized that she was protecting herself against the bad things by her extreme gratefulness for the good things. She was trying to hold the bad things at bay." And Ryan understood at that moment that when we are in the midst of the bad things, we should be praying, "God, knock me down harder. God, knock me down harder." Why would we pray that? Because that is a prayer that cannot come from a rational mind. That is a prayer that puts God in control rather than us in control. Ryan says that the hard times we go through are actually wake-up calls that keep us aware and keep us listening. And it's only after we are broken, only after we are broken, that we can participate fully in all of humanity's suffering. It's only when we pray to see, to have our eyes open to all of life's textures, when we give this prayer to God, then we can fully participate in life. Then we can celebrate with others in their joy. We can cry with them in their heartbreak. God, knock me down harder. And now we're getting somewhere. Not all the way there, but somewhere. And at that point, we can begin to be grateful for everything, in the midst of anything. I don't mean we can be grateful for the death of a loved one. I don't mean we can be grateful for the loss of our job on which our families depend. I don't mean we can be grateful for a country whose leadership seems to be losing not only its compassion, but its way. I mean that we can be grateful for friends and loved ones and God who are with us during our grief, that hold us up when we want to give up. We can be grateful for the safety nets that so many of us have when we struggle. We can be grateful for people who offer forgiveness and grace when we can't even offer those things to ourselves. I believe that when we find we can be grateful in the struggle, we find that we can be grateful always. In a sermon at Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Los Angeles, Gary Wilburn said, "In 1636, amid the darkness of the 30 Years' War, A German pastor, Martin Rinkart, is said to have buried 5,000 of his parishioners in 1 year. An average of 15 deaths a day in their small village. His parish was ravaged by war, by death, by economic disaster, by starvation. And in the heart of all that darkness, surrounded by all that death, Rinkart sat down one evening at his table and wrote a prayer for his family. And you sang that prayer this morning. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has led us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today in the midst of death and dying destruction. Here was a man who knew thanksgiving comes from love of God, not from circumstances. Thankfulness comes from love of God, not from circumstances. You know, we, meaning this church, this particular body of Christ that meets together, worships together, studies and plays and struggles together, do we know? Do we truly know that thanksgiving, that gratefulness comes from love of God and not from outward circumstances? And that when we pray, we should say, God, knock us down harder? Because then we're forced not to lean on ourselves and our plans and our meetings and our resources and our agendas, but to lean on God. We should. We've been tested, haven't we? I won't go into all of it, but we've struggled. We've had to change our legal name when banks and realtors wouldn't work with the gay church fewer than 20 years ago. When those brave people, some of whom are still with us and some of whom are gone, decided to step off the edge and buy a piece of property that they could barely afford and build a church that they couldn't. And when we stepped off, we found ourselves standing on the solid ground of Freedom Oaks. Garrison Keillor once told a story. He said a silkworm was struggling out of the cocoon, and an ignorant man saw it battling as if in pain, so he went and helped it to get free. But very soon it fluttered feebly, and then it died. The other silkworms that struggled out without help suffered, but they came out into full life and beauty, with wings made strong for flight by their battle for fresh existence. I think we've come out into full life and beauty, with wings made strong for flight by their battle for fresh existence. Do you remember the days when we had Thanksgiving dinners here at the church? They were wonderful. And they were fun and filling in ways beyond food. But do you also remember that for many of us, we were here with our chosen family because our own families would not, could not welcome us home to a family Thanksgiving? Would not, could not welcome us as our true selves? Would not, could not welcome the ones we love? Remember that? And so today, 4 days before Thanksgiving, remembering that, I'm so grateful for those days, for the struggle that so many of us have endured since then, and for the reconciliation of our families. But even more, I am grateful that out of your struggle has come a genuine gratefulness that has grown into generosity, that will provide Thanksgiving dinners through our Project Brown Bag for 38 families, for more than 150 children and parents and grandparents and cousins who are in turn grateful, and whose gratefulness, I have no doubt, will turn outward into further generosity, and the cycle will continue, and the world might just change. Gratefulness born out of struggle. And we have struggled. When Texas decided to double down on denying our marriages with their own version of DOMA, when a beautiful young boy named Matthew was left to die alone in a field, when trans siblings, especially women of color, are murdered daily, when queer kids are bullied and isolated and in acts of desperation in their own lives. And from this struggle, from this heartbreak, from being knocked down, we are stronger and we are grateful. And in our deep gratefulness, we are reaching out in generosity, and we are growing and we are creating. Cormac Russell says, a community can never own that which was created for them in the same way they can own that which they create themselves. Out of our struggle, out of our gratitude, out of our generosity, we are creating. This week we sent out, and all of you who are on our mailing list are receiving today, an email announcing the grand opening, the initial gathering of Chrysalis Life and Learning Community. At Chrysalis, you'll find a safe, supportive community for your whole family to learn, to grow, to transition, and to become. Out of the struggle, not one more child in Austin has to go without that support. Not one more family has to feel isolated. It goes on to say that Chrysalis Life and Learning Community is for you if you and your children are looking for a safe, supportive community in which you can find social activities with other LGBTQ+ children and youth. If you need support networks for LGBTQ children and youth and parents and siblings, Chrysalis is for you if you need resources for working with school personnel. If you need information about LGBTQ issues, resources for fostering health in both mind and body. Remember the days when you had to sneak into the bookstore to find something to help you? Chrysalis is for you if you need support and resources for transitioning and coming out. Out of the struggle we are creating. On December 7th, the community will be invited to come and help us create what this portion of Chrysalis will be. I hope that you will share those emails, forward those, share them on Facebook, let everyone know. Last week, I met the parents of a 7-year-old trans boy. He has never met another trans person. They've already registered for Saturday. They'll be here to help find other families and other children just like their own beautiful, beloved son. And not only that, but this part of Chrysalis is only the first part. Next year, we will open a nursery school for deaf infants and children and for their siblings. Out of the struggle, out of knowing there's not enough resources for them. Some of them grow up in silence, in literal silence for years until families can learn to communicate. They too will find a safe, supportive place for growing, for becoming, for learning. Out of the struggle comes gratitude. And out of true gratitude comes generosity. I want you to do something with me now for one more time. It's the last Sunday in November. I want you to go through this exercise with me if you're comfortable doing it. So here's how we start. Get comfortable in your chair. Now notice your breathing. Breathing, something we often take for granted, right? Give thanks for the gift of air and breathing. And if you're comfortable, close your eyes now. Close your eyes. And we're going to take a moment to give thanks for all those things that it's easy to take for granted. All those things that so many of us have in this moment, let's be thankful for the air that we breathe. For the knowledge that we will have food to eat. Give thanks if you slept under a roof last night. Give thanks if you slept on a bed. Give thanks for friends who lift you up, who hold hope for you when you can't hold it yourself. Give thanks for God who is always, always with you. And now I want you to think about something that's a struggle for you. What are you struggling with? Maybe you're struggling with the grief of losing a loved one. Give thanks for memories. Give thanks for those who will be with you, comfort you. Listen to you, hold you. Maybe you're struggling at a job. Give thanks for those who are encouraging you. Maybe you're struggling with finances. Give thanks for those who will provide a safety net for you. The ones who will not let you go hungry. Give thanks for the ones with whom you have a difficult relationship, because there is still time for forgiveness and for reconciliation. Give thanks for every struggle that has taught you a lesson. Give thanks for every struggle that has helped you to understand you cannot depend on yourself. You must turn it over to God. Think again about your breathing. What a gift it is to fill your lungs. Open your eyes. Come back to this place. In a moment, if you haven't already done so, I hope that you'll fill out your connection cards. I hope that you will trust us with the gift of your prayers. And I hope that you will continue to trust us with your gifts for God that enable the work of this church. And because you don't